Well, hi friends, happy Friday. Graham here with my daily update video. I'm really trying to do these every day, but sometimes life takes over. But hope you're having a great Friday wherever you're at today. A couple of housekeeping things as usual. If you don't yet get my email newsletter, I'm trying to send out an email every Friday with a bunch of different things, and I just sent mine out today, but you could sign up using the link below. And we have a free gift, a three-hour teaching on how to hear God's voice when you sign up for that. Secondly, if you are new, if you're watching this on YouTube, why not hit that subscribe button down in that corner there and give the bell symbol a long press. Helps YouTube let you know when we put out new videos. And thirdly, let me mention some things I've got coming on this weekend. Today is Friday, September 16th. I'm going to be in Weston, Massachusetts this evening doing a healing service at Lighthouse Church in Feeding Hills, Massachusetts, kind of part of the greater Springfield area. That starts worship at 6:30 p.m. Going to be preaching on healing and praying for the sick. So if you need healing or simply you want to grow your faith in that realm of healing, you know, somebody just messaged me about an hour ago asking if we could set up a FaceTime thing to pray for somebody with stage 4 cancer. And the church needs to be preaching healing. If we're not preaching healing, we're not preaching this same Jesus. Hey, tomorrow, Saturday 17th, I have one of my ministry school sessions in the morning. Going to be mentoring a group about teaching and preaching. And Sunday 18th, I'm going to be in Sturbridge Worship Center in the morning speaking about abiding in Jesus, and in New England Fellowship at 4 p.m. in Norwalk, Connecticut, talking about the vine and the branch, similar thing, talking about spiritual disciplines for the next few months probably, but at least weeks. So, and next week as well, I've got a healing conference on an all-day conference on Saturday, September 24th in Norwalk. So check out my website. All of those things below. Last thing as well, I'll be doing a Q&A session. Should be out later today. And always happy to take questions, but that's primarily for the partners and supporters of our ministry. So I've got some questions today. I've got 5. What books are you reading now? Can a Christian believe in evolution? Does God have the right person for everyone to marry? Interesting one. Should Christians celebrate Jewish festivals? And how, why should I fast? So get into those. Good. But let me share something real quick with you today. Somebody asked me this. I was talking about reading books yesterday and said, what books are you reading now? And it's got me thinking about this subject of reading. And I want to encourage you to be a reader. You know, if you think about it, God chose to communicate with the world through a book. And obviously through preachers, through churches. I think God uses technology. We're doing it right now. And yet the primary way God chose to speak to mankind, you know, it says in 2 Peter that holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit and wrote those things down. And God is a writer. Yeah. I think if all of us are honest, at times we're reading the Bible and we're going like, God, can you write? And, you know, as somebody once said, the problem isn't that God can't write. The problem is, can we read? And we need to learn to read. And I think if you're going to walk with God, you're going to walk with his word. Mm-hmm. You know, Christianity is, I was thinking about this at the gym today. Christianity is propositional. It is, in a way, the Bible states things that we actually should grasp and should understand. And there's a kind of propositional element of Christianity. There's an element about Christianity where it's where our heart actually really believes and engages, and we engage in relationship with God around those truths. And there's a part of Christianity that is action, that is doing those truths. And if you think about the church, usually different streams in the church gravitate towards one of those things or another. You know, I don't want to oversimplify that, but you know, famously 500 years ago, Martin Luther, Zwingli, people like that, argued with the Catholic Church, rightly so, saying that all the Catholic Church was teaching was good works. That the message of the church was, if you want to get to heaven, give money, help the poor, pray, do things, do actions, and that they will, you know, bring you into right relationship with God. And rightly so, people like Luther said, no, you know, we're justified by faith, and started the Protestant Reformation. Some of the challenge, though, is especially Protestants, evangelical Protestants, especially in places like America, is so often our Christianity becomes propositional. It's like we're going to somebody and saying, to be a Christian, you need to understand these truths and believe in them. And then we'll set out, you know, some version of the Book of Romans and say, if you will agree to that proposition, agree to that truth, you're a Christian. And the danger is we end up in a whole new form of religion, because it's actually possible intellectually to look at something and say, tick, 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 I agree with all those things, and yet not meet Jesus. And yet we do need to understand truth. So Christianity, we should come to our Christianity, it should set out truth for us, step number one. Number two, we've got to engage our hearts with that. We've got to understand Jesus died. He's the propitiation from our sins. He's the redemptive substitute, you know, his finished works on the cross. Like, amen. But then I've actually got to come to Jesus and say, Lord, so save me. It's got to be personal. It's got to be real. It's got to be faith in my heart, not good doctrine in my head. But then, you know, it's possible to even fail at that point, because if I have had a true heart encounter with Jesus, it should bear fruit and change things in the way that I live. If I'm saying I've got this transformational life with Jesus, but I never give, serve, love, do a bunch of things, then that falls down there. And again, I think there's a part of a church, a lot of the Reformed church, I'll pick that as an example here in America, is really big, like a John Piper or propositional. We've got to agree with these truths. Like, rock on, dude. I agree with you. But then we've got to engage them in our hearts. Probably my stream of Christianity, charismatic Christianity, we're really big on, you know, experiencing God and the Spirit making things real to you. Amen. Sometimes in my stream of Christianity, you meet people who really have engaged with God, had a true born-again experience and know God. And sometimes they're quite flaky on those, their understanding theologically of what they have. They have that salvation, but they haven't understood it. And at times they're majoring more on the experience of it rather than the understanding of it. You say, does that really matter? Well, I don't think it matters so much. If you're truly born again, you're born again. But if you don't understand how you're born again, why you're born again, whatever, at times your experience can go astray. Somebody can try to lead you into experience, and doctrines like the rails at the side of the road. You know, here in America, we have like little ruts on the side of a highway where if your wheel strays too far, it kind of warns you and come back into place. And the danger is, well, I'll just say it this way. I don't think God will reject you because of bad theology. But if you live in bad theology, you may end up rejecting God. Selah. So it's important we've got truth. It's important we experience that personally, but then it's important that we practice that we live it, that we walk it out, that we pull on our theology to have an experience, and then we walk in that experience. And it doesn't mean we do it perfectly or that we don't have things to do that. You know, Jesus in Matthew 25 talks about people, and like, you say you knew me, but I was hungry, I was in prison, I was lost, whatever. And he wants us to be engaged in a way. You know, some of my Catholic friends are right by saying, if we say we've got a faith and we're not doing good works, then we don't have a faith. Yeah, you don't get a faith by doing good works, but we need that both and. We need a faith that's real, that's theological, that's real, and that changes the way we live. And it's my encouragement to you today. I've really got off topic here, but engage with God's word, learn to think, learn to read. You know, there's a really great book, not a Christian book, but it's an old book here in America that's actually called How to Read a Book by a guy called Mortimer. I think it's Mortimer. And great book, really encourage you to do that. He just actually sets out in this book the discipline, the challenges of reading a book, underlining passages, thinking, pulling on things. And I think one of the challenges I would say Christians have is many Christians don't read at all. Or they only read things in their stream, in their lane. It's funny, I've been reading a book recently. This is a commentary on the book of Revelation, verse by verse commentary. But every single verse in the book of Revelation, it gives you basically a summation of how the main four different positions on end times, eschatology, Revelation, if you will, how they see it. So every one verse in Revelation, you're seeing it through four completely different lenses. And I'm amazed, you know, as I spend time at Christians, most people have only ever heard one version of the end times. And then they make a cliche, a cartoon, a straw man of any other viewpoint or any other person who might hold any other viewpoint. And in a way, just keep reinforcing that same viewpoint. And then when they get around somebody who sees it a little differently, they freak out. They've never even thought through those things. So be a reader. Get some great books. Read, think, argue. Have some friends who are readers. Find some things that will stretch you, that will build you, that will grow in you. Come on, I'll end with this thought. But, you know, life's so short, isn't it? Life is short, and I think one of the great things we do when we read a book, it's like we get to spend, you know, so often somebody will spend 20, 30, 40, 50 years learning something, learning a skill, learning, studying, becoming an expert, at least in a narrow stream, and then setting down, as it were, at times years of experience in something. And at times, by simply getting a book, we get to, in 4, 5, 6, 10 hours, whatever that might be, gleam into 50 years worth of wisdom. And that's a great deal. Yeah, that is a really good deal. I believe God has people in our lives to mentor us. They can be, you know, friends, parents, pastors, people we know. But at times you can be mentored by somebody who lived 500 years ago by spending time in the things that they wrote. So obviously, read God's word, study, show yourself approved. But I think thinking about the things of God is a really great thing. Hope that helps. Let me know what you were reading. Let me know what I should be reading. And I'll get back to you on that. Again, if you're new on my YouTube channel, hit that subscribe button. Why not share this video? That'll probably really encourage and help somebody today. We have podcasts, too many things to mention, but look through the links below. And hope to see some of you in person real quick. Hey, I'm going to be in the UK in October. Going to be in Manchester, Liverpool, Wales, and London. London town. Be sad to be in London without the Queen there. But I'll be in Ireland as well in the month of November. We're doing a conference in the town of Newry, a weekend conference. So if you're in Ireland or Northern Ireland, love to see you guys there. And I'm looking at coming to Belgium in December. So blessings. Speak to you soon.